Connection through conversation. Join self-described conversationalist Stacy Heller as she talks with guests about topics and ideas that are sometimes informational, sometimes inspirational, and always entertaining on Stacy Connects.
Hey everyone, welcome to Stacy Connects. This is a show about making connections through conversation because I believe that asking questions instead of making assumptions is the right way to learn something. So thanks to everyone that listens to the show and the podcast. If you listen to the show, tell people about it. If you listen to the podcast, tell people about it. You can find it and my other show that Eric and I co-host called Don't Ask Me to Talk. Eric keeps me sane and, again, is definitely the favorite child, which is weird because we're not related. I don't know. I'm convinced. Mom, like, every week she's like, and tell Eric I said hi. Yeah. She's listening right now.
She's actually just being polite.
No, she adores you. Anyway, and now Lee adores you because she met you too.
They're both very, very nice people.
This is why they like you. Anyway, so wherever you listen to podcasts, be sure to look for Don't Ask Me to Talk and Stacy Connects. You can also call into the show live. You can call 425-373-5527. I'll say it again a little slower. 425-373-5527. And remember, if you want to shoot me a text or leave me a voicemail, I would love to hear from you. So you can do that at 475-999-2724. So, my guest today is Eric Crema. Hello.
How are you? How you doing? It's always confusing when you get a couple of Erics on the show, right?
Well, yes, and you both, so you spell your name with a K. Eric spells his name with a C.
Yeah, the right way.
Oh.
No, he beat me to the punch.
Wow. So clearly these two have worked together for a very long time, which as you and I talk today, I have a feeling that Eric, I am like Eric B and Eric K, like, or Eric R, you know.
Say the writer and the Crema.
There you go. Crema the crop. Anyway, so you are my guest today. I have met you because of the shows that I do here through KKNW and Kixie as well. And I'm excited to have a conversation as somebody who is late to radio. Radio has like been your life since you could say Gaga, which would make you Radio Gaga. Right? See what I did there?
Just like the Queen song.
Exactly. Okay. Anyway, Eric, I invite obviously both of you to comment on as I go through some of my conversations and observations from the past week. So,
sounds good.
Here we go. Over the weekend, I went glasses shopping with my daughter Annie. We went to Warby Parker at the mall. And
do they have physical locations?
They do.
I didn't know that. I thought they were strictly online.
No.
All right.
You can go in and they have all the different types of glasses with the different colors, and you can bring in your prescription and do your thing. And Annie, as you know, a 26-year-old, is like, I need options. And me, as a 52-year-old, was like, I mean, yeah, me too? Question mark. And here's what I found. A, I know I'm blind as a bat. And B, when I'm not wearing my glasses, I cannot hear as well.
Okay.
I gotta riddle that one. Now you're putting them on right.
Yes, I'm putting them on right. Thank you for that. It's a weird thing. Like, I would put on, you know, a different pair of glasses. And maybe it's because there is, when you watch somebody talk and you can make the visual connection between, you know, like reading lips, right? You're hearing what they're saying, but you're also seeing their mouth form the words or something. But I would put on the glasses and Annie would try to say something to me and I'm like, ah, I need a horn. I can't hear you. It was so bizarre.
Huh. I mean, normally you hear that story about like people losing a sense and the other ones getting keener, but you're going the opposite route.
And I've thought about this, and I think it's because people that lose a sense, over time, the other senses develop stronger, and it's like a muscle, right? And so they become stronger. In the case of spending an hour at Warby Parker, my hearing and my sight did not have time to develop.
Just going to the mall in general would make me want to be both blind and deaf, so I could totally understand.
Exactly. That's like that thing that my dad used to say about the...
I'll keep the smell strong for the Cinnabons that are at the mall, but aside from that, I'll go ahead and get rid of all my senses.
And like Wetzel Pretzel and those things? yeah, 100%. My dad used to make some joke about the deaf, dumb, blind man who picked up a hammer and saw... Uh-huh. See what I did there?
Oh, I thought you were getting into the Who.
No.
You already mentioned Queen, so I thought we were going down the Tommy route there for a second.
No, but. You know, just about the person that picked up a hammer and saw. Yeah, anyway. Thank you. That's right. Tip your servers, folks.
So I get my glasses at the other W store. The Walmart.
Oh.
The Walmart. The carousel in the Walmart. That's always you can meet fun people around that carousel.
See, connection through conversation, Eric. Like, yes. This is what I'm saying. So are you leading me to believe that you use readers?
I got cheaters. Yeah, cheaters, readers, yeah.
Okay.
First time I went there, I didn't know anything about it. I'm looking at the turnstile and trying to figure out what to do. And this old man comes up and he says, you know, you look to be about a 1.0. I didn't even know what he was talking about. And he goes, they put those down low for you young people. And he goes, what'll happen is as you lose your sight, you'll go higher up the carousel until you're at the top. So you don't have to bend over. And sure enough, that's where they put the 5.0. So you can see like a
5.0.
Right?
You can see through time.
So where are you now then?
Oh, my God. It's like one of those things you don't want to admit, but I'm at 175 now. And he actually, his opening line was, what's your number? And I thought he was asking for my phone number. And I said, what do you mean, my phone number? And he said, no, I want to know what number your glasses are.
So that's funny. Wow. Interesting.
I was getting hit on by an older gentleman at Walmart.
I mean, honestly, I'd be okay with that.
He's like, I'm looking sharp in this vest.
Exactly.
Maybe today's the day.
Exactly. Today's my day to greet you. I do have questions then. Do you wear cute readers or cheaters, like with patterns and things like that? Or do you go with just the classics?
No, but I kind of am jealous of people that can pull that off. Mine are just your standard. Oh, here's my problem. I buy the pack of five and they're all over my house on the first day. I strategically place them where I think I'm going to need them. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the week, they're always within 5 feet of each other because I walk over, leave a pair, and then what, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I'm forever looking for my glasses. So my mother, to go on the cheap.
My mother can help you with this.
Okay.
So what Joan would tell you is don't buy one pack of five. What's better than one pack of anything is two or three packs of something. And then you have them on every single surface. And so you're covered because mom has them on every single surface. And it just gives her a yet another reason to have like a cute little vase or container or dish. So.
Okay. Okay.
Right?
Either that or buy that. What do they call the little deal?
The string thing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing. That's a look.
Might as well go all the way to old age.
Right.
And just
I suspect
that.
You're buying like the Dockers of cheaters.
Nailed it.
Yep. Well, you know. I am in my free time. I do co-host with the Michael Bruce Image Consulting Team a style podcast. So it totally makes sense that I nailed that. I mean, come on.
Well, here's the deal. Next time I see you, let's talk about it. You look at my head and you say, here's some glasses ideas for you.
I'm on it. I love a challenge.
Okay. It's a challenge. All right.
All right. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. So you are married, I know this, and let's say you and your darling bride are thinking about going out somewhere, do you utter the phrase when you're trying to figure out where? Up to you. You pick. Your call.
All the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, for her, is that like nails on a chalkboard? And she's like, I don't want to pick. Or is she like, great, this is where I want to go?
You know, I kind of catch myself because I'll say it and then she'll give me that look like you just said. Uh-huh. And so then I will say, okay, I'm actually going to have to be involved in this conversation. So then I will think. And it's sometimes it's circular where if I say, well, not sure, how about you? Or where would you like to go? And then she'll say something, but I really am curious, where do you want to go? And then we'll kind of go through this whole meandering and we'll end up back at point A anyway. So I guess that's a bit of frustration.
So here is a PSA for, and I say this as a precursor to what I'm about to say. I'm painting with a wide brush, but let's say you're in a relationship with someone else and you're the one that says, up to you. You pick your choice. What do you feel like doing? If the person that you've said this to is a woman and has had children, we do not want to make yet another decision. So make the decision for us. Say, hey, honey, we're going here. And I'll tell you what, if I'm not happy with it, I will tell you. But most likely, I am so happy that you've made a decision that I will go to Hooters and I will eat the wings. And I will be like, wow, but the wings are really good. So that's the first.
I'll say that. I will try that, but I'll give it a little French. I'll say Hooters, you know, or something like that. I'll just give it a little different name.
Exactly.
So by the time she realizes what's going on, the wings are arriving.
Well, I suspect she might know when you pull into the place, but
kind of hard to miss.
And then the second part of that is when my husband, the saint, according to my mother, says up to you, I translate that as I don't really want to do this. I would prefer not to. I'd rather you do it completely, but I'm going to say up to you, which is my way of saying I don't want to do it, but I mean, I guess if I have to be the hero that Gotham deserves, then I'll do it. And this is my final opportunity for you to say, I'll just do it. Mm. So maybe that's just specific to me. But I'm thinking like, it's the whole like, do you want to go to the grocery store or do you want me to go to the grocery store with you? Up to you. Well, no, I really don't want to go to the grocery store. I have zero desire to go to the grocery store. I would like to stay at home. I would like to play solitaire, or I would like to watch a show, or I would like to read a book or listen to music. I don't want to go to the grocery store. So when Pete says, up to you, to me, I'm like, the answer is going to be no every time. So I'm airing dirty laundry here, but I do feel like that this is a universal thing and that I want listeners to realize that this is a universal thing and direct communication is perhaps the salvation for this cyclical conversation.
I think it's an interesting point. And I just wrote on a sticky note, you know, no, it's up to you, or not really up to you, you know, circle with the mark through it. And I put underneath it, make a decision. So I'm going to try that. And I'll report back to you to see how it goes. And I'm not going to say anything to her prior. I'm going to wait for it because it happens at least, I don't know, 10 times a week about something.
Yep.
On both sides. I say the same thing. You know, I'll say, hey, what do you want to do? So, I'll try to give it a shot.
Good. Eric, do you want to say something?
I was just going to say, usually when we're asking the question, where do you want to go to eat? It's because we don't know ourselves. So we're trying to get some consensus going. So, you know, it's a process of elimination that we're trying to, I think, at least in my case, that we're farming it out, you know, to get some ideas bubbling. You know, there's no bad ideas, you know.
I get that.
Except for every one of my ideas, apparently.
Well, right.
When it comes to
flirting. I get that. And maybe try this approach. If you have already decided together that we're going to go out tonight, instead of saying, you know, where do you want to go? Up to you. You know, your choice, whatever. Maybe say, hey, is there any place you don't want to go? And then you've eliminated the don't want to's, and then you can make the decision. So now you've heard the I don't want Mexican, I don't want Thai. And so now you get to make a decision. So you're happy and you're the hero because you made a decision. You're welcome.
All right.
Relationship advice here on Stacey Connects. That's right. Okay. The last thing that I would like to talk about is, hey, I went to the Yankee game last night. I know what you're thinking. That's weird. They're in Seattle. How did you go to a Yankee game? Well, because I'm a Yankee fan, and when the Yankees are playing the Mariners, I'm not going to a Mariner game. I'm going to a Yankee game for way cheaper. Because if I went to Yankee Stadium, it would be a massive expense. But I can go to Costco and I can get a few tickets at the like tier level and have a gin and tonic while I watch the game, get my soft pretzel, and watch Aaron Judge get a homer. Because did he? Yeah, he did. So
I envision all these Mariner fans turning the channel right now.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Yes. And by the way, Mariners are doing amazing right now. So kudos to the Mariners. They are having an amazing season. And
we've got a little series going on with Mariners versus Yankees because they're playing again tonight and then again tomorrow.
Yes. So what's interesting is the number of Yankee fans that were there at the stadium. I mean, I imagine that that's true no matter what town or what team comes into town. There's always going to be fans. I would say, though, that there was a good 35% of the fans that I saw based on jerseys and hats and whatever. I can conservatively say at least 35% of the people that were there were rooting for the Yankees. So that was an interesting thing. And that's conservative. I really think it was way more than that. I also talk about connection through conversation. There was a couple behind me. I'm making an assumption that they're a couple if they're listening. Hey, you should be a couple if you're not. His name is Dimitri, and they were talking about baseball. And then, of course, we got into a conversation. Next thing that I know, I'm talking to him about how when he was 10, he was granted asylum and he came here from Russia by way of Virginia and has found his way here and shared my Calendly for him to come on the show and to talk about this. And my husband was like, seriously, can you go nowhere and not have a conversation with some complete stranger? And I was like, no, Stacey Connects. Have you not heard?
So your husband's nightmare is a line that he knows you're both going to be standing in for a while because you're going to meet some people.
Totally. I mean, 100%.
He's like, buckle up.
Right.
Get some comfortable shoes.
Exactly. And he's like, they're probably going to move in with us, or you're going to plan their wedding, or, you know, you're going to pay for them to have like their teeth pulled or some random thing. And, you know, he's like,
it's random.
Here she goes.
Have you done that? Have you paid for people's teeth to be pulled?
Just the wisdom teeth, Eric.
Oh,
yes.
Well, okay. Right. There's some wisdom in that.
And I mean, and I know the person. But yes, I tend to be a collector of people. So I met Dimitri. I'm looking forward to him coming on the show. I randomly, again, my husband is like, cringes every time. I was like, so do you ballroom dance? And you would think that, you know, like what a random thing to ask. And he's like, actually, I do know how to ballroom dance. And I was like, yeah, you do. Because our daughter, she ballroom danced. She learned international style here in the Pacific Northwest. And traditionally, there seems to be the instructors that we've encountered are very often from Russia. They are from the Ukraine, someplace like that. And so that seems to be something that is taught early on in the culture. And so while my husband felt like it was out in left field, it was not. So anyway,
And then it turned into a ballroom blitz.
It, well done. Well done. Okay. So I normally share a Stacyism, but we're running long. And so instead, I'm going to share a quote about radio, which is, in radio, you have two tools, sound and silence. I have mastered the former, not the latter. So goals. I'm going to work on it during this first break. And when we come back, I am going to have an awesome conversation, I suspect, with my guest, Eric Crema. We'll be right back with Stacy Connects.
Looking to reconnect with your partner, spouse, kids, or self? When the disconnect seemingly has been there for a lifetime and is impacting your relationships, it's difficult to determine how and where to start. But At the Root with Greg Kuiper of Kuiper Counseling is the perfect first step. Throughout each episode, Greg talks about establishing emotional connection with ourselves and others. He offers experience, advice, explanation, and resources to listeners. You can find past episodes on his website, KuiperCounseling.com, or through his YouTube channel, Connection Through Awareness with Greg Kuiper.
Stacy Connects, it's not just my business, it's my superpower. Whether you need the right tone and messaging for a new venture, or you've plateaued with your current one, I can help. I connect clients with themselves and their potential. Then I identify unique solutions that translate your brand into messaging that connects your target audience with your business. Go to StacyConnects.com to connect with me and your messaging.
Alternative Talk 1150, here to uplift your day.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Stacy Connects. Remember, if you have something that you want to share with me, feel free to text or call 475-999-2726. And I would love to hear what you have to say, especially about my guest today, Eric Crema. And so, Eric, again, I met, he is the business development manager at Hubbard Radio Seattle. And I met Eric because when I decided that I was going to do this radio show, he's the man with the master plan. And then I started hustling and other people decided that they wanted to do some shows. And then I decided I needed to do more than one show. I'm trying to get hired as a full-time radio personality. It's not really going that well, though. So I'm putting you on the spot. Why not, Eric?
let's see. I think it's four words, competition, right? There's just so much out there. One good thing, though, is I love the fact that Eric and I were just doing a show on this about podcasting. Mm-hmm. And podcasts and how cool it is that everybody has a shot at creating an awesome podcast and being heard. You see it in social media all the time of, you know, and then sometimes it is only 15 minutes of fame, but some have real staying power. Mm-hmm. So just stick with it. I love your show. I love your demeanor and your energy. And there are other sayings, things like, you know, you get 95% there. If you don't give it that other 5%, you get over the finish line kind of a thing. And I've done that in my own life, to be honest with you. I've come really close and then patched defeat from the jaws of victory. And so I think of that whenever I'm faced with adversity. There, how's that kind of answer?
Basically, that's a nice way of saying, you're not there yet, kid. Give it time. And the nice thing is, you're going to say something?
I was just going to say, I got news for you. There's, you know, radio usually doesn't let you do whatever you want like this. So that's you may be doing yourself a favor by not getting hired to do radio.
No, that's true. And honestly, I have no desire for fame. I just really want to be heard by my mother.
Yeah, seems to be working. She calls you after every show.
She does. She calls after every show, and all those years that she didn't listen to me, now she's listening to me. Hi, Mom. Hi, Lee. Hi, Dan. So anyway, You have been, though, at Alternative Talk 1150 AM for 25 years?
Yeah. Yeah. So I've had we've been owned by about four different owners over those years, corporate owners. Our most latest is Hubbard, the Hubbard family out of Minneapolis. And they're just such great folks. I mean, they've been in it for a long time. I think they had the first television station in Minnesota and grew from there. And it's a family business. So our current CEO, I believe she's the granddaughter of the founder, and she worked her way up. It wasn't like, oh, here's some radio stations, go have fun. No. She had to work her way up. And you know what? As soon as she opens her mouth and starts talking about something, this woman is incredibly smart and actually award-winning in the industry for her work. And the way they operate is, you know, it's kind of like, in a way, being a parent, because it's just this slow growth and slow and steady, right? Instead of, we really think about things as we make changes in the company. But going back to what you were talking about breaking in, and one of the things that's happening in radio is we're finally realizing that a big part of our success is our talent. And it's not, you know, having a ton of music and crazy bits and things like that are just in your face. It's really about the on-air talent that is the reason why people would tune into us versus all the other things out there to listen to. Okay. So as that happens, I think there's this resurgence of new talent coming on the scene. And like with podcasts, where you have, you know, people of all ages listening to podcasts, that means there's an opportunity for all sorts of topics. Demos and that sort of thing. You just kind of find your niche, but it's a double-edged sword because, again, there's millions out there. I think, what do we talk about, Eric? 2 million plus different podcasters out there right now worldwide. 60 million tune in daily to listen to podcasts. So you know, and it's not spread evenly, so some podcasts maybe have 15 listeners, others have thousands.
Well, and to that point, you know, I joke all the time about my tens of listeners, and the thing is, that may be the case. And when I hear from a listener who says, wow, I really loved that conversation that you had with Dan when he was talking about, you know, his addiction story, or, oh, I loved the conversation that you had with your mother and Lee about, you know, what it's like as you get older and, you know, having being social, and how do you feel, you know, are you mentally flexible and curious, or are you like, whatever? Mm-hmm. I love when I hear from people, because I have learned, and it's something that I say to my clients all the time, I no longer have a desire to talk to the people in the back of the room that aren't listening to what I have to say anyway. I'm not interested in capturing their attention. They don't get me. They are not interested in my point of view. So why am I spending so much time trying to get their attention? Instead, let me focus on the people that are already supporting me, listening, curious. They have a similar mindset. And it doesn't mean I'm in an echo chamber. I like to think of myself as, you know, through this show, I'm constantly learning and I'm curious. But why not take people along for the ride and ask the questions? So, but I want to ask you a question. So, 25 years in alternative talk. So what brought you here? The sales, the I want to talk, I want to be a star, I have a face for radio, which that's not true. He's a very handsome man.
Thank you.
So what was the thing? How did you get connected with radio to begin with?
Yeah, so I was actually a publisher of a newspaper. I owned my own newspaper for 2 years in this market. It was called Small Business News. And I had contributors and writers, and I did all the editing and all of the sales. I did have one full-time reporter. And as it is with any small business, it's a tough row to hoe, right? I mean, it's razor's thin on almost everything, and tons of work. But I've never worked probably so hard in my life and earned so little, but it was sure satisfying to have my own business. So I had that. But after about 2.5 years, it was clear I just couldn't make a go of it with my current skill set. I was pretty young. And I was doing a 1 minute feature on 1150 AM, which was actually a business talk station. It was a Bloomberg affiliate back then. And I was doing these weekly, actually it was a daily, but I come in once a week and record 5 1-minute small business news segments. And when they heard I was closing my newspaper, they hired me. And I really needed the money, because what I did was, you know, all those people that have subscribed to my newspaper, I was like Steve Martin in the movie The Jerk. I was literally writing checks back to them for the issues they would never receive because I was closing my newspaper.
Oh my gosh.
So I was writing quite a few checks of, you know, $7.89, you
know, oh my sending gosh. Them off.
So I needed money. I didn't want to leave them high and dry, so to speak. So, but they hired me in sales thinking I was bringing all these wonderful leads from my newspaper. And I was on a 6-month guarantee. So I did that for about 6 months, back when it was KEZF AM and FM. So 98.9 FM, which later turned into the Jazz, was actually an easy listening station. And so they hired me to do sales, and I was terrible at it. And I was just terrible and nervous and didn't know what I was doing. And certainly I could see the writing on the wall that I wasn't going to make it at this. So I didn't want to be a two-time loser coming off of my business. And I'm thinking, well, I better start looking for another job here before I get fired. And it just so happens that the operations manager of the station, again, it was a business talk station, decided to leave. And this was kind of prior to Starbucks popularity. Remember when everybody kind of, not everybody, but you'd go to the grocery store and there'd be a coffee cart outside.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So people would own those coffee carts and they would have a license to be there. So sometimes you'd have multiple QFCs or Safeways or whatever that would be. So anyway, he and his wife decided that was going to be their dream. They were going to start doing these coffee carts to take advantage of the specialty coffee craze. Well, he took off to do that, and he gave me a 1-week crash course on how to run a radio station.
And, wow.
It was my savior, because I was then able to get out of sales and then go into the operations side. So I did that for several years, and that's how I got into radio. And then I just learned more and more that sales isn't about selling someone something. It's really about fixing a problem for them. And usually that is bringing new customers, or right now the big thing is recruitment, you know,
businesses, right.
Employees. So helping them solve their problems over a long term, and not just trying to get a quick sale and move on to the next quick sale. So I had some mentors early on, including Michael Scott, actually.
I thought you were going to say Michael Scott. Well, from the office. I don't know, Eric.
he might not be the best mentor.
Robert L. Scott. Sorry, Robert L. Scott. He's sort of a legend. He's an African-American who broke into Seattle radio very early on. He had a morning show, I believe, one of the shows. Then he got into sales, and he taught me everything. Really, the core of what I know as being a salesperson. He's very good. And so he took me under his wing and sort of trained me, and the rest is history. I've just sort of meandered through sales manager, direct sales on the street, but then some operations. I've done promotions, so kind of all over in radio. Sorry for the long-winded story. But
no, not at all. Are you kidding? I asked the question if I didn't want to know the answer. And I have a lot more questions, but let's take a quick break here, and then I don't have to worry about taking another break a little later on. So keep listening to Stacey Connects with my guest, Eric Crema. We'll be right back.
Stacey Heller is many things. Entertaining, yet enlightening. She's a talk show host channeling her inner Fallon. Like Winston Wolfe, she's a fixer who gets things done with style. Practical, like Dr. Ruth. Stacy isn't afraid of the uncomfortable when searching for answers. She's your biggest fan and sees your potential before you do. Most of all, Stacy Heller is a synapse who can connect impulses and ideas about your business and yourself into possibility. To connect with Stacy, go to stacyconnects.com. Stacy Connects, it's her superpower. Too many relationships are adversely affected by wounds from our past. Lack of connection, unhappiness, shame, and regret are just some of the fallouts we experience when we choose to avoid addressing those wounds. Greg Kuiper of Kuiper Counseling is a psychotherapist committed to reestablishing connection with self to create greater connection with others. His work with teens, individuals, couples, and those struggling with substance use. If you struggle with old wounds or unhealthy narratives, get to the root of them in yourself by contacting Greg Kuiper at KuiperCounseling.com. That's KuiperCounseling.com.
Broaden your horizons. You'll be amazed at all the topics we cover on Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Stacey Connects. I am your host, Stacey Heller, and my guest today is Eric Crema. So, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for the groovy music. I really like it.
Thank you.
For whatever reason, I've been into watching old shows from like the 70s, you know, the classic old shows in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And it's got that vibe. It's got that really groovy vibe.
I got introduced to the whole idea of like radio is something that is attainable through The Efficient Life, which is a show that was here on KKNW with Stacey Harris and Dave Nelson. And they had me come on the show along with Bruce and the Michael Bruce Image Consulting team. And I took to talking like a duck takes to water. And fast forward when they said you should really do a show and let me introduce you to Eric. And Dave, he's very musical, and he said, what do you want the vibe to be? And I said, some cross between Salt and Pepper and Kermit the Frog and the music that we use for Don't Ask Me to Talk. Like, all of these things are fairly related. Right?
And you meant Salt and Pepper,
yes,
the rap duo,
yes,
right?
Not like
Salt
actual,
and Pepper. So.
Right. Salt and Pepper. Right. With a little delight, right?
The last thing Kermit the Frog wants to be next to is some salt and pepper.
Well, that is true.
Coming out of a pot.
Well done. that's funny. Yeah, with a little like delight, groove is in the heart. And, you know.
Yeah.
Right? Like that whole groovy 70s vibe. I mean, I watched all those shows growing up. There was some really good TV on in the 70s, but that's a whole separate conversation. We could talk about that on Don't Ask Me to Talk when Eric and I talk about good stuff. So you have always been a communicator and the small business thing. I'm curious about this. So way back when you had started the newspaper and you had a point of view that you wanted to share, tell me about the small business angle versus say, you know, what's going on in the world today? Or, you know, let me have a statement about this. Did you come from a family of entrepreneurs and small business owners?
No. So although I've had an entrepreneurial streak in me, I'm always thinking of ideas or trying to come up with the next best thing. And I even have a little journal about it, but unfortunately none of it's come to real fruition. But having that in me, that it's just something about me. So I definitely have a desire to learn more. Similarly to sales, I was taught by a wonderful editor down in Central Oregon. I worked for the Central Oregon Business Journal as a reporter. And he taught me, he goes, you know, business writing in general can be kind of boring if you think about it as just numbers and facts and figures and pie charts and all that. He goes, but behind all this is really, it's just people, their dreams of doing their business, our hardships. And once I made that pivot in my mind and started, when I was interviewing people, thinking about it through a little bit their eyes or walking in their shoes, if you will, it gave me a really good just appreciation for what it takes. So when I hear, like, for instance, somebody who really makes it big in business and they actually came up through the ranks, they owned their own small business, I just hats off to them. You know, I never have like envy toward that. I actually feel kind of in awe. You know, I just, it's amazing when you hear stories of people that have built from a truck or a toolbox or, you know, a pair of scissors and some cloth, and suddenly they're fantastic designers of clothing. I mean, to me, it's just amazing. And I just think it speaks to the human spirit. But on specifically to small business news, it was really localized to the Seattle area. And I profiled things that are happening both on sort of legal or federal coming down in regulations and things like that that would affect small businesses. But I, the bread and butter and my heart of it was the human interest stories that I would do about just businesses growing and coming up with new products or doing something interesting. It really helped that I had 12 different contributors who were experts in their own area, and they would supply me with so this publication came out every 2 weeks, and they would supply me with articles every columns every 2 weeks that I would just simply edit and put in there because sure. they were talking on subjects I had absolutely no idea. I mean, these were accountants and, these were people who knew about the on the legal side regulations and things like that. So it was easier to rely on their expertise.
You were doing the transcript of essentially what is radio, you know, everybody yeah. talking in their own voice, telling the story as it relates to them and how it could relate to others like them and, you know, being a subject matter expert on it. And, collecting a stable of experts that can speak to it. And there is something to be said for the people that know how to really curate and collect that stable of people so that there are a lot of experts in the room and bringing them together with that commonality. And I think that's a lot of, you know, what you do with KKNW. It's what you do with Hubbard in general, finding people and people find you. And I you've been super helpful with me doing the show and having feedback and, you know, letting people do their thing. And at the same time, with this constant idea that it is somehow of service to someone.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for saying that. I think you nailed it. When I look at, let's just take local news, and I don't want to bash anybody, but you know, a lot of times you'll look at local news on television, and it just seems like they're reading the teleprompter, and there's no in-depth reporting going on there. I just feel like 11:50 a.m. with its bevy of hosts is really about going deep into the knowledge of that particular host and their guests, mm-hmm. and it's unlike anything you're going to find. Because we have the time to do it. We don't have to say in 2 minutes everything that's going on in the local area. We can talk for an entire hour as we are today
right.
and have fun with it and get to know our personalities. The audience gets to know us a little bit.
Absolutely.
And talk a little bit more in depth. And I think there's real value there that unfortunately not enough radio stations do. I think we're so unique in that regard.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that, you know, having a show that, you know, to your point, you know, the radio, you're constricted by what's going on in the news. You have these short snippets of time. You've got to convey it like, oh, and now we have a sad local story about a little boy that lost his dog. And, you know, you feel like it's so scripted in a way and yeah. the emotion doesn't feel genuine. Whereas I have this, and I'll only speak for myself, I have this awesome platform where I can bring people on and we can talk about things that are completely ridiculous, things that are heartfelt. You know, I had an episode where there's somebody who is looking for a kidney. He needs a kidney donor. And so to be able to get the word out and encourage people that even if you feel like, oh, I don't know that I could do that, learn what it's about, learn what is possible. So that's just, that is something that I really enjoy about the platform and that we can have fun and learn simultaneously. So clearly you're a communicator. I mean, you know, you put together this business journal and you're also a figure it out person. My dad was that way. He grew up in a family business that was a corporation, and he had to work his way through, you know, starting as a truck driver and working his way through so that he understood all of the different elements of what it took to run the family business and, you know, then worked his way up before it was sold. And then when given the opportunity to figure out what he was going to do next, he chose to buy a small business. And like you then, had to really put it together. It's one thing to work in the corporate environment on a large scale. It's another thing entirely when, you know, you are operations, HR, sales, the creative team, the whole thing. And you learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah, and I think the payment, pardon me, in those situations, even if you are just working at a company and you're working your way up, is you're paid in empathy and humility. And as you can empathize with your coworkers, with your customers, and have humility to approach a problem with, you know, I know what's best for you, and here, I'm going to tell you all about it, you know. Instead, really listen to people and hopefully learn something too. I mean, there's been many conversations where I'm going one direction, I do a 180 after talking with people because mm-hmm. they're right and I was wrong. And I think you have to be able to have that flexibility if you want to learn, because yeah. isn't that the point here? I mean, when you talk about having thousands and thousands of listeners, and yeah, it'd be great. I can only imagine the people that you've affected, you've probably never even talked to. They've listened to you, they've heard you, and what's been said on your show has changed their lives. And it's much like programs when they have left KKNW, then we get the calls. So they're like, where's my favorite show?
Right.
I love that show. I listen to it every week.
Right.
Why didn't you call in? Well, because I was listening.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. You know, you take those things for granted and the connection that you have with people without even realizing that you have the connection. And it seems like that entrepreneurial spirit that you have, even though, you know, you're working for, you know, Hubbard Radio is a family-owned business, as you say, in Minnesota. My brother and sister-in-law, they live in Minnesota. My brother has heard of it. He was like, hey, maybe I know someone. I was like, I feel like that's a lot of skip levels. So thank you, but no. But anyway, even though it's a larger company, it's still family run. And you have had that opportunity to stretch your entrepreneurial legs and really figure some things out and figure out how to authentically and organically grow the station, which must feel really good.
It does. And sometimes it blows me away to think back that this format that we've been doing has been in existence now for nearly 20 years. And in radio, that's a long time, particularly in a very competitive market like Seattle, 13th largest market in the nation. Mm-hmm. Most formats come and go within, say, 10 years, say, not most, but a lot. Mm-hmm. Even one of our own stations has seen several formats since I've been here. So part of it's changing tastes, but that's the kind of the beauty of 1150 AM is the shows tend to reflect what's going on at any given time.
Sure.
The hosts come in and they're talking. We've got a technology show now that's really talking about all the new hip technology that's in the world. And we didn't necessarily have that, say, 15 years ago. We've had a lot of bread and butter type programs that have been mind, body, spirit, mm-hmm. But we're starting to see other things too. And it goes back to the host. I mean, you can have a great show or you can have one that's it's a spot on topic, but maybe the host isn't up to the challenge.
Right.
And they've got to figure that out. But you never know, because why tell them, I don't think you're up to the challenge right away, when it's their dream and they can find their way. A good example is, I used to be sales manager over at Warm 106.9, and I would go down the sales pit, if you will, and I had 8 salespeople working for me, and every single one of their cubicles was completely different. One cubicle would look like a bomb went off. I mean, just paperwork everywhere. Mm-hmm. The other one is just totally buttoned up, like they worked for the FBI or something, and everything in between, and they were all fantastic salespeople in their own right, because they found their own way to success.
Right. Right.
You know, so.
Well, yeah.
Who am I to say you're not going to find that right audience?
Right. Now, how has the DIY aspect of podcasting impacted then alternative talk radio? Has it been, I know for a fact that people that are interested in doing a podcast, when I talk to people and they say, you've got a podcast, like, you know, tell me. I'm like, I got to tell you, do not DIY it. Work with Hubbard or some like station or whatever, because the fact that I've got Eric Ryder here on the board, I've got you, I've got access to the technology, I don't have to do the upload. You know, if there's some sound issues or whatever, you've got a whole team and group, and that's been awesome. Do people get that? Do longtime radio hosts get it? And when people are coming in, are they taking advantage of the fact that they can do radio and podcast?
Yeah, they are more and more, for sure. We used to just call them archives, where we just take the show and post it on our website, and then podcasting became a thing. So now we put them on all the major platforms. So when anyone goes out there and, you know, type Stacey Connects, hopefully pulling down and subscribing to your podcast, which I highly recommend. We've seen kind of both, where people will do a radio show and podcast for a while, and then they're thinking, well, I'm going to save money or do it myself. I'll just do it from home and do my own podcast and not do the radio show. And then they end up sometimes coming back because they say, well, I just didn't get any traction to it because I have no vehicle pushing people to it, and vice versa.
Right.
And so I think radio does a good job with that. I just like the fact that more and more people are really just getting interested in the spoken word aspect of listening to audio. And we have the technology, thanks in large part to Eric Ryder's direction. We have the technology, you know, with our app and streaming and the podcast pages and all this. We can get the audio to you where you're at. That's right. The key is how do we get you that audio? You know, you talk about using experts. Even our technology show relies on us on the radio side to help them out
with
their audio and things like that, podcasting. So we're with their, I think they're doing video. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I hope I'm not. But anyway, you're an expert in what you do.
Right.
You have a dream of what you want to do with the audio. Let us be the professionals to help it sound as good as possible. And it's not that expensive in the grand scheme of things. You're not opening up a yogurt shop here with a brick and mortar and 20 employees and that sort of thing. So you can do your dream at a relatively low cost.
I agree. Of course, we're going to be out of time here soon. And the one thing that we didn't talk about is that you yourself, as I said, are a communicator, and you have several shows that you do. So I want to give you the opportunity with the last 3-4 minutes here to mention the shows that you host or co-host.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So I do a show called Your Community Matters. It's not a set schedule, but it's a chance for me to talk to businesses and organizations that are doing good things for people in the community. Because in the end, I mean, that's really, I think, why we're all here on this spinning globe, is to help one another in some fashion. And so I'll talk about it with that. I do a shortened segment on Voices of Experience, which airs on Kixi and KKNW. It's about a 12-minute spot, and it's called Spotlight on Success, where I'll actually drill down. And it's kind of fun because I get to speak to some local celebrities, businesses that are doing something interesting, new product, or I can kind of pick and choose and find things that interest me, and hopefully do a good interview that, you know, transcends to the audience and they like it. And then we have a show called Your Life, Your Way. It's actually sponsored. I'm a co-host on that by Holden South Center, and that's an assisted living group out of the Tukwila area, South Center area. And we talk all, they do a good job, because what they do is they don't just promote their facility. They mention it, but they bring in guests who help with things like, how do you select an assisted living? If you're aging, what do you do about ankle injuries and back issues? And how do you stay active? What are some of the things you can do to stay limber? You know, so they'll talk about all kinds of things surrounding, and it's really good information, I feel like, in my stage of life, because we advise, for instance, my father-in-law and a lot of his things that, you know, at his age. And so it's helpful to talk about financial issues and have that knowledge.
Absolutely. And I have an idea for you, by the way. I'll tell you off. Okay. I'll tell you.
Oh, halfway. Okay.
I'll tell you later. all right. So that one is Your Life, Your Way. And then you have another one, don't you?
Yeah, so I do one with Mike Broderick, who is, if you're ever thinking about doing a reverse mortgage, he's really, I mean, he's been doing it for 26 years, so
Wow.
he knows, he's like a local legend. He's been doing it, and so, but he's one of these people, very much like you, where super approachable, and you know that they have your best interest in mind when they're talking to you. Very casual about it, and a lot of times he'll tell people it's just not right for you, it's not a
Yeah.
vehicle for you, but just learning about how how they work and who they're right for and that sort of thing. So
That's awesome.
I host on that as well, along with him.
All right. And those are all shows that you can find on either KKNW or you can find on KIXI, both AM stations. KIXI is 880 and KKNW is 1150. Those are the call numbers.
Correct. And quite a few of them are sent off to podcast as well. So everywhere but iHeart, you're going to be able to find it if you type in those.
Love it. I will share that on my social media so that people know where they can find it. Eric, thank you for being my guest. I'm going to have you back on because naturally I have more to ask and more to talk about. But thanks to Eric and Eric. And I so appreciate it. And next week, my guest is Ashley Barnes, and she is somebody that someone connected me with. And I was like, sure, why not? It's Stacey Connects. So make sure that you stay connected out there. Maybe don't stay close. COVID is still happening. Thanks, everyone, for listening.